And welcome to the Avram Rosenzweig Show. My name is appropriately Avram Rosenzweig, and I am just delighted to be back here in the world of podcasting. I mentioned in my first show with Stefan Boyd, who is a boxer trainer right now, that this is a follow-up to my original podcast, which was called Hat Radio. And I just figured I'd go with my name. Maybe that'll give me a little bit more mileage. You know, I have a little bit of a following, and I'm hoping that this time around we'll be able to launch, you know, nationally, internationally, and get some real following. So the idea behind the show, if you haven't listened before, is to do long form interviews. I am fascinated by humankind. I am really curious and interested in people to the extent that I speak to a lot of strangers in parking lots. I speak to my servers, my waitress, my waiters at restaurants, and I try to get to know them, wonder who they are, and I try to learn from them. There is a saying in Judaism, Ezehu Chacham, who is a wise person? And the answer is Lomed Mikal Adam, one who learns from everybody. And I think that if given the possibility, if given the chance, we can do that by simply saying hello to individuals, doing it graciously and courteously, asking for their welfare, and sometimes getting into these really chunky, meaty discussions and talks, and coming away from it just a much richer and wealthier person. I'm also a life coach. I call myself a purpose and meaning coach. And if you'd like to learn more about this podcast and learn more about what I do as a coach, take a look at avramrosenzweig.com. That's AVRUMROSENSWEIG.com. I am really delighted to have with me as my second guest on the Avram Rosenzweig Show, my waitress, my server at Wimpy's Restaurant here in North York. And her name is Dodie Gabre. We've known each other for a couple of years, and she's a lovely human being. And I'm so happy that she joined us. How are you, Dodie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really, really good. How do you feel about doing this interview? Have you done any interviews before?
Never. I never done any interview before. I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
Yeah, you're going to do great. You know why I asked you to do the interview?
No.
I'll tell you why. Because you have a lovely character. You have a lovely personality.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You really do. I must say that every time that I come into Wimpy's, you have a smile on your face. I'm figuring your face must really hurt at the end of the day.
I guess my face get used to it. So I get this a lot. So which makes me so happy.
Have you always been a joyful person?
I am. I don't, I might say, a lot of time, but you know, as human being, there is ups and downs. So I don't take my personal issues to work or to my guest. You know,
I can see that, and I'm not being, as they would say, hyperbolic. I'm not being dramatic when I say literally. When I come into the restaurant, there are certain waitresses or servers that I'd like to see, and one of them is you. Because just by looking at you and just by interacting with you, I feel happier.
I'm really appreciated. I'm so happy for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there's a couple of things that I'd like to cover in our interview today. One of them is you as an Ethiopian and Ethiopia.
That's right.
Because I have really two favorite countries in the world of which I'd like to visit. I'm okay with not visiting anywhere else. I know that sounds strange. One of them is Israel and one of them is Ethiopia.
Yeah, good.
I used to date an Ethiopian woman. Did I tell you about
Yes, Lemna? You did.
I told you about Lemna. Right. And, and she introduced me to all the great Ethiopian cuisine, like Anjara.
That's right.
Do you make Anjara? Yeah.
I do, of course.
Is it good? Is it tasty?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, I love it. You know, you grew up with injera, of course. You love it.
Are you a good cook?
I cook, but not, I don't know. But I cook, some people say that's good. It's great. So Usually it's not like on a regular basis. Thank God I have my mom with me, so most of the time she cooks my favorite food. So
Oh, you're lucky. That's lovely. Now, let me ask something. Because you work in a restaurant, I was a waiter for about 15 minutes until they fired me. I think I burnt the manager's coat with my cigarette at the time. I just wasn't made for it.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's funny.
Yeah, it's not a terribly easy job. Do you get to eat at the restaurant?
Say
Can you eat at the restaurant? Can you eat during the day while during your
Yeah,
shift?
yes. When we feel like it, we will eat, of course, definitely.
So what might you grab off the menu?
It depends. If I'm not busy, if I have a few minutes, I'll grab souvlaki without the rice, just a salad and a chicken. That's my favorite one.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite too. Yeah.
If not, some just between buns, some like wrap. I'll take the same thing, souvlaki wrap or fish sandwich. Those are my favorites.
Okay. So I want to, as I said, cover some of that turf having to do with restaurants. There's a lot to say. People want to know about tips. You know, do you have generous clients? Do you have cheapo clients? You know. Well, we don't have to criticize anybody or the restaurant, but do you have generous clients? We'll go there in a few minutes. But before we do that, let's talk about you a little bit. I remind my listeners that the show is called the Avram Rosenzweig Show, and my dear guest today is Dodi Gabere, who is Ethiopian from Addis Ababa, which is the capital of Ethiopia. Now, you came to Canada or Toronto 5 years ago, right? Well, why did you come here?
I would say for a better opportunity for my school, most of the things. And I was thinking I was gonna go to school right away, but which it didn't happen. So my plan, and after I finished my course, I was gonna go back. So, but I'm still working because my mom have a little bit health issue, so I'm just helping her at the same time.
You're a good
So
daughter. You're a good daughter.
thank you.
Now, Dodie, why did you choose Canada to come to?
I would say my cousin was here before me, so and then the other things I thought, and then I have sisters and brother in the States, so I thought it was very easy to cross borders and to go to States, which is didn't happen. But after I got my papers, I just go visit to state, but I really like Canada, so I just came back. I don't want to stay there. So it feels like my second home.
That's kind of interesting because you've come from a country which is really one of the poorest countries in the world, right?
Yeah, you can say that, but people would what can I say? On my life experience, I didn't experience all that, and I don't know all the those kind of news where I grow up, but I see a lot of people mentioning about that. I see the poor people everywhere, but in my country, the problem is the rich people is the really rich, rich, and then the
Yeah.
poor is poor, but there is no much middle class. But even though, I mean, it's not that the way other people talk about. Most of them, they don't have more information about my country.
Yes.
But
Yeah, and it's actually been built up more so over the last few years, right?
true. Yeah, you can say that. But before that, I can tell you that when we had I don't reach that age, but we had when we had a king, our economic think it was more than the economy, more than the way it is right now. Because I would say went backward instead of going forward. Right after the king, we had a military government which corrupted everything. He was tried to run it's like North Korea or Cuba, socialist.
Yeah, right. You know, what's interesting, though, it's a fascinating country because even the politics, like Haile Selassie was a king. He was an emperor in Ethiopia. He was considered to be like a god, you know.
For certain people.
For certain people. That's correct. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, he died and there were other regimes that came into place. But the unfortunate reality about Ethiopia it is a stunning, gorgeous country with great richness in terms of character and personality. The problem is that it has a very, very high, you know, literacy rate. A lot of people do not read and write. And again, there's a lot of poverty. But what's interesting is that your father is a businessman in Addis, right?
That's right.
Sells TVs, telephones.
Yeah. Watch.
So how big of a screen would you have at home?
That's a big one for us. But my dad is not only sell all those fancy stuff, but he collect all antique, which is, I don't know if I pronounce it right, the grandpa clock.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, all those kind of watch, you know, people who pocket watch, clock, like he has different kind of things that he collects, which is a lot of people purchase from him. That makes him unique than a regular businessman.
He's very he's entrepreneurial in nature. He's a good businessman. Now, did you have a decent lifestyle back home? I know there were 8 children. Now, that's not unusual within an Ethiopian family, right? But was it a nice lifestyle? Was it decent?
Yeah, with decent lifestyle, a lovely family. It's not only 8 people. So we help other people from outside of the city. They'll come to our place for education. So sometimes it looks like a refugee camp, our place. It's not only
I like that.
Yeah, it's not only 8 children growing up with one family. It's like a lot of people.
You know, it's so very interesting, Dodi. I had a friend by the name of Joseph Enyu, who's Ethiopian.
And
when I first met him, when he first came to Canada from Ethiopia, he told me that he had, I think, 10 brothers and sisters, something like that. And then the next day we talked, he told me he had 12 brothers and sisters. So I said, look, if we're going to work together, then you have to be able to trust me. Like one day you're telling me you have 10 brothers and sisters, the next day it's 12. He goes, no. He goes, you don't understand. In Ethiopia, your cousins, they're your brothers and sisters.
That's
too.
Right.
Right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Because there is a lot of kids, their last name is my dad's name, you know?
Yes.
A lot of them. Because when he take them from outside of the city, when they register to school, they always take his name. So as Joseph said that, I would say like hundreds of sisters and brothers. We are a lot. And then, thank God, we respect each other just because they come from outside of the city or just because of their relative. We're the same. My dad provide everything for us exactly like his kids.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And things work so differently in Ethiopia. I was a colleague of a doctor by the name of Dr. Rick Hodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick works in Ethiopia and he has for many, many years. He's a Jewish fellow. religious, so he wears the kippah, like the skull cap on his head. And he's been helping out Ethiopians in Ethiopia for many, many years. And he wrote a book, and in the book he talked about how this little kid used to approach him every single day in the street and ask him for money. And he started to talk with this kid, and eventually he got to know him better. And eventually Dr. Hodes took him to his house, and he introduced him to a family that he had developed, and ultimately started taking care of him and adopted him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That wouldn't happen here in Toronto, right?
No. No.
Yeah.
That's the strange. In Toronto, it's like you don't even know your neighbors, you know, when you leave. If you leave a permit or the house, you know, back home, forget about your neighbors. When you have a little kids, you just give to the neighbors and then watch my kids, I'll come back, you know? Just
yeah.
normal and normal. If the relative passed by in your house, they have to go in. If someone telling me that this person passed by in my house, didn't visit me, I will really get mad. But anyone when come to your house, you make them a coffee, which is normal.
Yes.
You roasted, you ground it in front of them, you know, you boiled them, you know, there is a snack with the goes with the coffee. So you had to do that for everyone who comes around in your place.
So that's normal. What's it like for you here where you need to set an appointment 2 weeks in advance to visit a friend?
The first time it was weird.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It's like, you know, and then after I get used to it now, even though you had to call, you know, before to visit someone or to have appointment. It was weird for the first time. Now I know.
How did you settle into that cultural adjustment? How was that for you?
Well, you know, there is nothing I can do because I cannot cross that border, right?
Yeah.
And then I have to deal with that. Then I just easily it wasn't bad at all. It wasn't bad, but still with some relative and friends, we do the same still here. We do. We'll say that, oh, I was passing by. I'm just want to check if you're at home. Like, right. We do that. Yeah.
Right.
We still have that connection. So it's okay.
Is being in Canada versus living in Ethiopia, I know it's so dramatically different in certain ways. Was it a tough grind? Was it difficult to go through that life change? And is it still... Or have you pretty much adjusted?
I would say I pretty much adjusted it because theoretically, I knew my expectations. So it wasn't that hard for me to adjust. It wasn't hard. But, you know, as I said, after I came to Canada and then I had a chance to go about three times home. So when I go home, I stayed at, 4 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I know when I come back, what I was going to, what my expectation is. I would say no matter what, there is no place like home for anyone, for anyone. It's not you're rich or poor, but, you know, I love Canada. You know, it's not something I go against it because there's always opportunity for you to be or to do what you wanted to do. You know,
what are Canadians like? What are we like?
What do you like? What Canadians like?
Well, I know that we like Tim Hortons, but what are we like? What are we like? Like if someone said to you back home, they say, oh, what are Canadians? What's their personality? The country's character.
It depends. Like on my experience, to tell you the truth, I don't experience nothing bad. Yeah. Nothing bad. I've been friends with different kind of cultures. Canadian, Indian, Jamaican, you name them.
Yeah.
If you see my pictures, like with my friends when we go out, completely different. I have Ethiopian friends, of course. We go out. We every month we have this woman that we gathered, but I go out with Greenpeace stuff, and then I used to do a volunteer to one community center. So, and then I go out with those people, whoever. I get along with anyone. So I never had any problem. I would say Canadian is like good people, good people. I never experienced anything bad.
Any racism?
No, I never experienced that. It's not the first question that you ask me. There's a lot of people ask me that. I never seen myself different than others.
Yeah.
Never felt that way. Never. When I serve my customer at Wimpy's, I feel like my guest in my house. You know, I never in advance, I don't think about tips. I don't think about anything. When I serve them, it feels like a guest in my house. So I have a lot of regular customers. You know, sometimes when they come and say that, well, we like to be served by duty, sometimes I feel, you know, shame because of the other people working with me. You know, there's a lot of them. And then it happened to be most of them are seniors. And then I really love it. I think that's the thing that it keeps me at Greenpeace until this time. So for me, I didn't experience racism at all.
That's really good to hear. It's really good to hear. You know, it's interesting. As I mentioned before, my first guest was Stefan Boyd, who is a boxer, was a boxer, national champion, and he's also runs a camp, an environment where he teaches kids and adults. He teaches my son, and he is originally from Jamaica. He's a black man, and I asked him the same question. I said, "Have you experienced racism in Canada?" And he said, basically, no.
True. I understand. Yes.
And do you, Dodie,
I
do you,
never felt.
that's wonderful. I mean, that is so positive to hear, especially now when the world is a little wonky. But on the flip side, do you find that your clients at Wimpy's, do they ask you about your background? Do they ask you about your Ethiopianism?
They asked me a lot of people, but some people they guessed I'm from Caribbean.
Right.
And then I always telling them, no, I'm from Ethiopia and this and that. And then certain people that they have no idea about Ethiopia or they have a wrong information about Ethiopia. So I'll take my time to explain to them and then to understand and certain things.
But like what?
So
Like what? Give
There
an
is
example.
one customer was asking me that when I told him, what is Ethiopia? And then I told him, Ethiopia in Africa, right? Yeah. And then he never thought that literally he think we were walking on a jungle with tiger and lions.
Right.
I seriously. And then I was like, no, it's not like that. And then I pulled my phone and then I show him what looks like in Addis Ababa. He said, a subway system? He goes to me, yeah, I don't think that's your country. And then he goes, he tried to search in his phone, you know, and then spell it for me, where's Addis Ababa? And then he goes like, okay. And then, okay, go to the Sheraton Hotel, what it looks like. And he said, said looks like this is some Arabs country or Emirates. I was like, no, that's an Addis.
But
And then
you know the what you guys basically the coverage that your country gets here has little to do with commerce, it has little to do with tourism, it has to do with poverty.
yes, I definitely agree. I really definitely agree. But now there's most people, they're getting it. Most people, they understand right now what's going on, what looks like, you know, there's a civil war, yes, which a civil war kills people, kills economy.
Yeah.
There's many things, but rather than that, Ethiopia is like a beautiful place. There is rich in history. If someone reads about Ethiopia, it will be amazed. So,
Yeah.
and then don't forget that the first human being found in Ethiopia, right? So
That's
we're all
correct.
Ethiopians.
Yeah, is that Lucy, the skeleton Lucy?
That's right. That's
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
right. And
Yeah.
I think that it's one of the oldest countries in the world. In the Bible, in the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, is called Cush,
Yeah, cool.
and Cush, and it plays a predominant role, really, in a number of people's lives. You have Menelik, I think, who was
Yes.
Menelik, who was born out of the Queen of Sheba, I think.
Yes, and Solomon.
And
The king of
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah.
And there's a belief that the tribe of Dan actually made their way to Ethiopia, and that's where the Ethiopian Jews came from. Did you ever know any what they call falasha? It's a little bit of a negative term. Did you ever know
Yeah.
Jewish Jews in Ethiopia?
Yeah, but I learned that like the late, but I never knew early age, but I know after that, and then I know about Queen of Sheba and then King Solomon. It's always talk about on history in home we learn about it. And I know about some Falashan and they're try to take them to Israel.
That's
There's most
correct.
of them are in Israel.
Yes.
By the way, I've been Israel twice.
Oh, how was it?
It was really good. I went for Eastern time with my church, so there was a package for 2 weeks, and then visiting all Bethlehem, Yariko, and Golgotha, and some places. So it's really, really good. I want to go at least one more time to make it three.
Did you have a view of Israel before you went, which was my, it must be a dangerous place?
No, because I didn't know until when I went there the second time. It was a big war with Palestinian. So for us to cross to Jericho, there was a lot of problem because everyone has to be checked everything to pass that border. Then I see if there is a big problem in that area, but it wasn't nothing much for us, nothing to do with us, but I really love it. For myself, I was very surprised to be in that city because I learned on my Bibles, Jesus passed this way and that way. He was holding cross in this street and stuff. And then I said to myself, what am I doing here?
Yeah, right.
How like I was I feel like I'm really lucky, to be in that city. Yes.
Jody, the thing about going to Israel, and I've been there many, many times, and my sister and her family lives there. I have cousins there. You're right. That's exactly right what you're saying. You walk along the street and you go, oh my God, I can't believe who walked on these same roads.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I'm so lucky. I am really lucky to be on that place, Wow. Even
You went
talking about now.
to Bethlehem, of
Yeah,
course.
Bethlehem, of course. There was like we stayed 2 weeks almost, right? And then within that 2 weeks, they took us places, so different places. In the morning, they bring the bus, and then we took us so many places, Galila and everywhere. We take the ferry boats, and then a lot of places, and then Golgotha, Bethlehem, as I told you. And then it's a really amazing place. It's a blast. I wish everyone once in a lifetime to go there.
Jody, you should be a world ambassador. You know that? No, I'm serious. You have such a lovely view of the world. It's so beautiful.
Oh,
It
I
really
appreciate
is.
it. Thank you
Oh,
so much.
it's so beautiful. I wanted to ask you that. Going to Israel, you're right. It's a really big experience for most people walk away from it and they go, my God, this is an incredible country. Whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Jewish, it can be an outstanding opportunity. Now, I know that Ethiopians, the vast majority of Ethiopians are
Yes.
Christians,
Oh, yes, true.
right? And
Yes.
when I was with Lemlem, she was my girlfriend. I learned
Yes.
an awful lot about Ethiopia, and what I discovered was the main language there is Amharic, right?
That's true. Yeah,
And
that's true.
right, and then
Yes.
she would make blessings, and they sounded, you know, Dodie, they sounded almost like Hebrew.
True. There's so many Hebrew words in the Bible. Lots of them.
What, like, for instance, before you eat, I want to know about some of your traditions. Before you eat, do you make a blessing
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
in Amharic or in
In
English?
Amharic,
Can
anywhere
you?
I am, my friends know it. Even Wimpy's, okay, Jody, bless our food. They were waiting for me.
Okay, honey, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Tell us one of the blessings in Amharic.
In Amharic, okay, Basma, Wawelt, Women Fesk, Adus, Ahadu, Amlak, Amen.
Amen. What was that blessing?
This is like we say, in English, what do you, for the Holy Spirit, we say like three names, all right? The
Yeah.
Holy Spirit and this and that, and then bless us. That's what I say, but I don't know exact words in English, sorry.
Oh no, that's okay. So you go to church on a regular basis?
Yeah, I do. I do. And then after the pandemic, I've been lazy. After the pandemic, they open up, but I went for there was a cross day 2 weeks ago. So yes, I went. But usually I go every Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning. So until 10 o'clock, the mass is finished. But we go that there is a hold that there is a food. There is tea, coffee, so we gather together at least until midday or so.
Maybe I'll
So there
stay.
is a lot of kids. There is a lot of kids born in Toronto. So they're deacons. You don't believe it. The not in Amharic, which is Ge'ez language is deep in Orthodox religion.
Yes, guess that's right.
The oldest language is now they are the given I think Yofti by funded The Weeknd, the singer.
Did you which what type of church do you go to?
Orthodox Church, the one in Dafrin and Tychos.
And it's Ethiopian, a lot of Ethiopians.
Yeah, we built that church about $7.5 million.
Oh, that's awesome. And your
Yeah.
prayers are, what language are your prayers in?
Amharic and Ge'ez.
Oh, I would love to attend. Is there a lot of singing?
A lot. And then if you see those kids, the choirs, you'll be amazed.
Oh, that would be nice. Would they let me speak?
Say it
Can
again.
I speak?
Yeah, of course. Maybe on some celebration day, maybe I'll talk to the priest and he will give you some some time to talk,
I love doing that. I
yeah,
love doing
because
that. I love.
the city, sorry, the mayors and then that area, like there's a lot of people attending on the regular basis, like when we have a holiday or something, people comes, like foreigners, other people.
I've spoken in a number of different churches, and I'll tell you, I really enjoy it. I really do.
Oh,
You know
you
why,
love.
Dodie, you know why I enjoy it so much?
Yes.
First, I enjoy speaking. As you can see, I don't stop, you know. The other reason is because there is nothing nicer than bringing people together, right?
True.
And
Definitely true.
when I go, if I speak as a Jew, as a Jewish leader, and I represent who we are as a people, and I get to know the other individuals who are there in the church of other backgrounds, denominations. It's making the world a stronger place. I just enjoy it very much.
Definitely, definitely true. That's a very strong things to do for all communities,
Very
for
much so.
all backgrounds. Yes,
Do you
true.
want to hear an Ethiopian poem?
Yes.
Okay, listen here. Against
Okay.
your smooth skin, by the way, Ethiopians have the most beautiful skin in the world.
Wow.
Don't you find that? And their facial, their character, the look, they're just beautiful. They're
Oh.
beautiful people in Ethiopia. People say that. You know that, right?
Yeah, they do. They do. True.
Gorgeous, just gorgeous.
Good
Against your
skin.
smooth skin, as dark as this Ethiopian night, your heart sparkles like candy red apples. This, I am sure, and still are exquisite orange sunset sail across your Ethiopian eyes.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
Wow.
I found this on poetrysoup.com, and they have like a whole plethora of poems. Here's another one. You want me to read you another one?
Yes, please.
Okay, here. Here. Riding an elephant down the narrow trail, looking triumphant, scanning the golden landscape like Hannibal with enemies in flight. Sight from a lofty height, king of the jungle moving with lioness. I guess this kind of plays into the whole idea that Ethiopia is just one big jungle,
Yes, that's true.
eh?
It is
All right,
true.
I want to talk about waitressing, otherwise known as serving or servers. By the way, you know
Yes.
the difference between a waitress and a server? Do you know the difference?
No.
The difference is that a server is any gender, right? Like you could be a server and then your male counterpart, the guy at Wimpy serving, he's also a server.
A server. Okay.
Whereas you're a waitress and he would be a waiter.
A
So
waiter. Okay.
yes, so we live in an extremely gender sensitive time. So people have started to go with servers. But I like the idea. Are you okay if I call you a waitress? I like that idea.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm proud of it. Of course.
Good for you. Do people call you over? Do they go, "Excuse me, waitress"? Do they do that?
Not really. Not really.
I'm gonna do it.
No, it's all right
Like,
though.
do people ever snap their fingers? Are there? I don't want to start on a negative, but I
Yes.
know over the years. I've noticed, and this has changed. Thank God this has changed. Sometimes
Amen, I know.
people treated waiters and waitresses very negatively and very harshly,
True, true, true. You don't understand. Some people, yes. And then sometimes some people they get offended with for in a sense to me, like I don't take it on a negative way. Let's say if they ask me back and forth for something, and then if they notice saying that, oh, I'm sorry, just one more time. If they I acknowledge that, that makes me really happy. I always telling them that you came here to relax, so I'll serve you. I'll get you whatever you want. That makes me really happy.
You ever get
Notice
angry? You ever get angry at clients?
I never, me never.
No, I know
I don't get mad
that's
that easy. I don't get mad at the customer. No, I love. I have. It's not one incident. There's a customer that comes with their mom, and most of the time she's kind of, no one wanted to serve that day. Okay, because maybe I don't know. Don't get me wrong. Maybe it might be the attitude was like that. I don't know, but everyone said, "No, no, not me. I'm not gonna serve that. I'm not gonna serve that." I said, "You know what? I will serve."
Yeah.
So, and then it's been like a lot of years now. No one wanted to serve her, but she literally comes for me, and then she goes very happy. The first time how we get along. And then she asked me so many things. She sent me back to the kitchen. She didn't like this. She didn't like that. Her mom said the same thing. I went back and forth to make her happy until the end. And then I was still laughing. I was still smiling. I was still smiling. And then she noticed all that. You know, after all, you keep smiling. She goes to me, I guess that's my nature. I just told her. And then she's really happy. She asked my name since then. Sometimes she call and ask if Dodie's around. If I'm there, she comes. If I'm not there, she doesn't come
That's
at all.
lovely. What a
She
lovely
takes
story.
takeout, yeah. And then everyone, when she comes, oh, here you go, your guest is here. You know, everyone make fun of me.
I find, by the way, generally the waiters and waitresses at Wimpy's, where you work at Shepherd and Bath, I find that they're just lovely people, just across the board.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we're
Sweet
like a
people.
big family. We're like a big family.
It's a wonderful restaurant. It really is.
Yeah.
And the food is consistent. I found about eight different ideas that are suggested for a waitress or a waiter to be good at their jobs. I'm going to put them by you. And
Okay.
You just comment on each one. Okay, Dodie?
Okay, sure, I will.
I mean, you've commented on this first one extensively. In order to be a good waitress, in your case, smile and be polite.
True.
Which you are.
I am.
So we've commented on this. Number two is know your menu.
Say it again. What is
know
that?
Your menu. Like the worst thing
no,
is
wait.
When your waitress comes up to you and you go, oh, can you recommend something? Or can you tell me what this dish is? And they don't know.
Yes. True. I do know. Because been working for a long time, I'll try to, when they ask me what's your favorite, I will let them know what I like, which
right.
is I say that's souvlaki dinner or fish. That's my favorite one. So, and then I recommend that. And then sometimes, even though there is nothing on the menu, we'll put together something for them, what they're going to like.
Yeah, you guys are excellent at replacements. Not every restaurant is. Not every restaurant is.
Yeah, the chefs are really good. They work with us very well. And then we have amazing owner. Like, the owner is very good. The boss is really, really, really good.
Okay, here's a little test for you based on number two, know your menu. Tell me three different breakfasts that one can get at Wimpy's. Three different breakfasts.
Three different breakfasts?
Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you. Okay. The Western omelet.
Yeah.
Okay. The Western omelet has ham and onion with four eggs.
Okay. Not and kosher.
It's not kosher. We're not kosher. We're not kosher at all.
Another breakfast. Number two.
Another breakfast, we have the waffle turnuji. That is the waffle. We do have one. You can choose any kind of meat, which is bacon, sausage, turkey bacon, or ham. It comes with two eggs and a big waffle, plain waffle.
Yeah, can I ask you about that breakfast? It's called the triple, I think, isn't it?
No, the waffle turnuji.
So let me ask you a question about that. I look at it. I've had three heart attacks.
Why?
Yeah, I've had three. Why? Why? I think that stress, I guess, you know, maybe it's genetic. I don't know. But don't laugh at my heart attacks. No, I'm kidding. but Dodie, listen, I look at that menu item. And sometimes, honestly, I come in there and I see people at like 7:30 in the morning eating these huge dishes of waffles, bacon. Three eggs, like how do they do? Can you eat that? Can you do that?
No. I'm a small eater. I can't eat a big meal at all.
Oh my gosh!
Sometimes it makes me so like laugh about like double burger with bacon and cheese, everything on it, and then on top of that, the Wimpy's poutine, which has a sausage and bacon and cheese on the fries and a gravy. I was like, okay, you know, some people
Amazing.
Have a good appetite.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it. Okay, number three, refrain from lying or embellishing. You know what that means?
No.
It means like when you come to my table, I want you to be honest with me.
Okay.
Like I came into your restaurant a few days ago, and one of your colleagues, one of the other waitresses, there was soup. It was, I think it was, I forget which soup it was. And I said to her, "Is it a good soup? Like, do customers like it? Do you like it?" She goes, "I'll be honest with you, not really. It's not that popular, right?" And
Oh,
I really thanked her a lot for being so straightforward.
yeah. Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say the same thing, but in our soup, to tell you the truth, it's like they say split pea, it's not my favorite. But there's a lot of people are taking it. So if they ask me what's your favorite, I would say the cream of the tomato soup is my favorite.
What about
For the
the
yeah,
what
or
about
chicken noodles, the cream of tomato, it looks like the rosé sauce on the pasta. So,
what
but
about what about the Italian wedding soup?
yeah, we don't have it anymore. After
I
the
liked it.
pandemic, we didn't bring it back.
I liked it. I like that.
Yeah, a lot of people love that. And they're
Okay.
still asking that one and the chili. Yeah, a lot of people asking, but we didn't have it. We didn't bring it back.
I never understood why restaurants stop a particular dish, and when it's popular, they don't bring it back. I never understood that.
I don't know, like sweet potato fries, a lot of people asking, but ours was different. It was really good. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Maybe I should ask my boss.
I'm also wondering about that. Okay, here's a really important one. Customers are your priority. Don't make them wait and don't make them rush.
Don't make them wait. Yeah, I agree. Don't make them rush means.
You know what that means? You know, Dodie, when you guys often have a big lineup at particular times of the day,
Yeah.
what's very cool about your place is nobody would come up to you and say, "Listen, do me a favor. You finished your dinner. There's people waiting. Can you free up your
No.
table?" You guys
No.
never do that, right?
No. No. No, we don't. We never do that. We never do that. But there is a common sense with everyone. You know, when they see people on line up after they finish eating, the most customers they give their table to others.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes when we don't have many people, they stayed it. They stayed. You know, they relaxed. That's fine. But when they see line up, you know, there's a lot of people knowing. But we tell the customer, let's say you come first, and then you have another three guests who's gonna come with you, and then because you come first, if you wanna ask the table, if the other party didn't show up, we don't give you a table. You know, because you're gonna come and sitting maybe 10, 15 minutes waiting other people, and then there is another people that are standing. That's just not fair, right? And that incident, there is a lot of customers, they get upset. They don't understand the situation. You know, I wish they understand that. Because of that reason, we put a note on by the door. Like if there is no, like if you don't have other parties with you, we don't give you a seat, which is in the rush hour. In a rush hour, it's not like every time.
That's very
So
wise.
yeah, but the rest, the people really understanding, and then they know the food is good. That's why people are waiting. And then the other things, it doesn't take much. Like if they wait 10 minutes, they'll get a seat. So we give them that option. We don't take reservation because, as you see, very small place, right? So we give reservation. If those people don't show up for half an hour or an hour, we don't keep that table.
So here's the last point, and tell me what you think about this. I think this is an excellent point, and I see it at Wimpy's all the time with the waiters and waitresses. Appearance. And what I mean by appearance, Dodie, is that no matter if you're in the first hour of your shift or in the eighth hour of your shift, you guys always look pristine. You always look clean.
Thank you.
Always
Appreciate
look clean. How do you do that?
it. I think that's a personal hygiene. No one is telling us that you're miss or something, but I think we work carefully with the, let's say most of the time our shirt get messed with Javex. Let's say that, not with the sauce, because we're like, all of us, we're clean freak. So yeah. As you see, the small place, we really clean it. By the way, we don't have books. You know that? We don't.
No.
One person gives us a schedule, or we change the schedule. We don't have a boss. We all are a boss to ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so no one is give us an order. So we know what to do in our shift, how to cover someone's shift. You know, we work together. If you see, like, I don't wait for your waiter or waitress to serve you for 5 minutes. You know, I come to you, I can give the order to your waitress. So we don't say this is my table, that's yours, I don't do this. No, we pass by, we clean anyone that read tables. We do that. We see the customer, the when you walk in from the door, we greeting you, like, you know, hi, how are you, have a seat anywhere, you know, this is normal. So at that case, you know, that's why a lot of people like to come to us. And there is Wimpy's at the Willowdale area. There is a lot of people lives in front of that area, the condominium. But the breakfast on Sunday, they all come to us.
Mm-hmm.
They're always telling us that we love your service and your food. That's why, you know, well, talk to you.
Dodie, I told you at the top of this interview, at the beginning, that when I walk in, I feel like $1 million. Look, I work out of my house. So a lot of times I feel very lonely. And sometimes I'll go for a walk. I'll go across the street where you guys are located. And I'll walk in. And part of that is just to see friends, just to be embraced, just to feel good, you know? And you guys always manage to do that. You guys always do that.
Nice to hear that. Nice to hear that.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's touch on something that's extraordinarily important, okay?
Okay.
Tips are a very big part of your payment, correct?
Yes.
Tips are. You know, waiters and waitresses get a certain amount of money per hour, sometimes, not always. Mm-hmm. But tips are really important.
Sure.
Have you ever gotten one of those real big tips that every waiter and waitress, you know, waits for?
Yes, not only me. Like, we get big tips sometimes. Not always, of course, but sometimes. It happens to me today, it would be me, but next time will be another person. Yes, we get a big tip sometimes. You even like 100%, like 100% of their bill sometimes, you know?
Really? People give 100%?
Seriously. Yes, seriously.
I feel so cheap.
Yeah. No. Not every time. It has to be occasion, or it must be a party. You know, you work hard for that table. People are noticing, you know. They do that. But really, really good. Sometimes some people, they don't know. They don't know about tips, like how many percent or something. And then you get really cheap. Or nothing sometimes. So a balance. So I don't complain about that.
Well, would you say overall Canadians are decent tippers?
Yes, I
we
do.
Are Ethiopians good tippers?
It wasn't before. Ethiopian in Canada, yes.
What about back home?
Oh, back home, it wasn't a tip. It wasn't that much. What can I say? They don't notice the before, no one noticing that a tip was like a big deal to that person, because he's in salary or she gets an hour this. So they don't think that, they give a letter. But now, you know, so when I went back for vacation, I see a lot of change. So I see now they're good. They're really good.
And, you know, I understand. that servers, waiters and waitresses become very good tippers themselves.
Just true. Now you make a really good point. Yes.
You have
because
to
we know the pain, right?
You know the pain. You know what they're suffering through, right?
Definitely true. Definitely true. Yes. True.
So the show is called the Avram Rosenzweig Show. Thank you so much for listening once again. I'm delighted to be back. I benefit so greatly from doing this podcast, and I do because it gets me more so out into the world. It gives me a chance to get close with people like Dodie. Dodie, you were wonderful in this interview. You know that?
Thank you so much. Thank
how,
you.
How was
nice
it for you?
To have me.
Oh, honey, you were wonderful. How was it for you?
Oh, it was really relaxed. I know I didn't even thought it's like a interview. Just talking to you. Yeah, it feels like just talking to you. So it was really good. It was really good.
Well, you know what? We're still recording, by the way. I just want to say the thing that was really nice about you. Firstly, you have a very, very special character.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very kind. You're very generous of spirit. And you have a positive outlook about our world.
So true.
Right?
We should. I guess we should, everyone. You know, we should have a positive attitude for anything. So we'll make a difference. So it's
Agreed.
Nice.
Is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, not really. I think that's it. Thank you so much for it's nice to have me. I mean, it's nice to be the interview. It's nice to, you know, it's nice of you to have me. So appreciate it. So it's a good experience for me. Very good experience.
It was an honor and a pleasure. Really. We are wrapping up. And once again, the show is called The Avram Rosenzweig Show. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to my schmooze with Dodie Gabray. She was terrific in this interview, and she's a lovely human being. If you meet her, if you're her client, tip well, because she deserves it, as do her colleagues at Wimpy's. If you want to learn more about my purpose and meaning coaching, please go to avramrosenzweig.com, and you will find there the information that's needed. We will be back every single week, and I look forward to interviewing folks who are like Dodie and come at it from a different point of view in life, as we all do. Until then, have a lovely week. Thank you so much for joining the show and for listening. And it's really been an honor and a pleasure to do this. Take care.